Good morning. It's been a morning. Just let me tell you, had a short panic attack when I got here, and I saw that today was Peace Sunday. And I said, Lord, what am I going to do? You gave me a word to speak. The Spirit told me. I gave you the word, so go forth. For those who may be wondering, we have a video camera here. It's for me. Yeah, you know, I'm taking a preaching class and I have to videotape. So thanks to Pastor Jeff for saying we're going to videotape you twice so you can pick the one that you want to turn in. So Vicky Ott stopped me this morning and said, tell your teacher I want to grade you. I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm going to send him right her way. But as always, I want to thank Pastor Jeff for giving me the opportunity and everyone who made it possible just to videotape this. I don't know how hard of a job it was, but I thank you. I appreciate it. As I said, it's been a morning. You know, on your phone, when you put directions into a GPS and when it gets off kilter, you see something that comes up and it says recenter. I had to take a step back when I got here and I had to recenter myself. So right now, I'm centered. So we will go forth with the word. As I said, it's good to see you all this morning, and I won't be before you long, as I do have a word from God. But before I start, please join me in a very quick word of prayer. God, we thank you for your presence that we feel in this moment. God, now I pray that you will open the hearts, the minds, and the ears of your people. I pray that you decrease me and increase you. Increase your Holy Spirit. In your Son, Jesus' name, I pray, amen. So this morning's scripture reading came from Romans, the 15th chapter, verses 4 through 13. So for a few moments together, of our time together, I would like to label these thoughts, hope on a slippery slope. And for the context of this sermon, I will reread a couple of verses. The first verse is verse 4, which says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so through endurance taught in the scriptures, the encouragement they provide might have hope. You see, here in Romans, Paul tells us that the Old Testament, which is the Torah, parts of it, has great value for the New Testament Christian, because the instructions instills us with hope that inspires endurance. Endurance. Again, the word hope. Hope is quite a word. You see, everyone from poets to politicians and preachers alike, they know that there's power in this word. Hope. Hope appears 129 times in the Bible. At least that's what Google told me. When we look at the word hope, it is defined as a feeling or an expectation and desire for a particular thing or a belief in something becoming fulfilled. Let's make it a little bit simpler for you. Whatever we desire has to be attached to a desired expectation. For us to want something, we must attach it to an outcome. So if we want peace, we got to think peace. We got to be peace. We got to pray for peace. You see, when God has hope for us, it simply means that God has given us a desire that is going to be met up with a certain expectation. And when God gives us a desire, he doesn't give us a desire without the expectation of seeing it come to pass. So whatever it is you want in your life, whether it's hope, whether it's joy, or whether it's peace, God has already given you the desire. But God wants you to move in the direction in which you should go. I hope someone heard what I just said. I'll repeat it one more time. He wants you to move in the direction in which you should go. Again, God has prepared. God has a plan. Just trust the instructions that were already written, which was stated in the verse previously read. When we talk about hope, we talk about the desire that is placed in us, the expectations that is linked to it. You see, we have all faced situations where there seems to be little reason to hope in our jobs, in our marriages, some relationships, even with certain family members. Some of us have faced what seems to be hopeless medical or financial problems. Some of you right now may be in those situations, and they may seem so hopeless, and you're so restless, and you can't find any peace. You can't find that peace of mind that you're looking for. You may be tempted to even give up on hope. But how do you hold on to hope during these times when our circumstances and situations seem hopeless? It's simple. We look to God. First, you must put your hope in God. And then you must trust God for help. This may seem obvious to some, but too often we are willing to seek help from anyone and anything before we turn to God. God becomes somewhat of our last resort. After we have exhausted every other option, then we turn and we run to God. For some of us who may have trouble paying the Ameren UE or the Laclede gas bill, we rack our brains to see how we can come up with the money. Again, it takes away that peace of mind. I remember a few years ago, if people had relationship problems or even had problems just with themselves, they would rather listen to Oprah, Dr. Phil, or even Dr. Oz with anticipation of an answer to the problem. They turned to these individuals for hope and for peace. They turned to them thinking that they would answer their question and solve their problem. We will try everything we can think of, and then if nothing else works, we will think of praying. But that's backwards. We should always go to God first and not last. I have a question for you. When you are in a situation where your hope is running low, what do you do first? When you need a peace of mind, who do you turn to? Do you rack your brain to think of all the ways you can solve the problem? If you are all over the place, how can you find peace within? Do you think of people, organizations, and other resources, thinking that they'll help me? That will be a little small inkling of peace right now. I won't have to worry about it until next month. And then, if nothing else works, do you finally turn to the Lord? Where in the process does prayer enter the picture? First, last, never? When your situation starts to seem hopeless, just stop and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm not sure how to handle this, but my trust and my hope are in you, And I guarantee you that will bring you peace, a peace of mind. The second verse of concentration is verse 13, which says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe in him, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." So watch this. So not only is your hope accompanied with a certain expectation, but your hope is also filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, wherever you are trying to go, God is trying to make sure that you get there and that God is with you as well. Again, peace of mind. You see, God has put us in a position of a certain destination of where he wants us to go. God has given us the starting point, but he has also given us the finish line. But there is a race that we must run. Again, those instructions have been written. Those directions are for us to follow. So now I understand what my hope is and where it comes from. Now, you may be wondering, what will give Christians hope and peace? What gives us hope and peace is knowing that God has the never-ending supply of all the necessary help that we need for us to be fulfilled and to fulfill anything that we need. In other words, God is not going to put us in a whirl or run a race that we are not prepared for. It's called completeness. You know, I had someone who called me 3 times yesterday, and I offered prayer, and I said, you know what, right now, you're just all over the place. You seem hopeless about your relationship. When was the last time you actually had a peace of mind? And he actually told me, he says, "Pat, it's been a while." So so I suggested that he pray. I prayed for him before I got off the phone. And again, I said, "It'd be a good idea if you pray to God." His response to me was, "I'm good now. You just prayed for me." I hear that quite often. I didn't know why it bothered me so much, but now I do. I was given a prayer in hopes to help him calm down and to get a peace of mind. I thought that he would take hold of what I was doing and not just let me do for him. You see, we all play a part in the expectation that God has for our life. We all have something to do to meet that expectation that God has. Having hope and peace with no work equals no expectation. So don't expect anything if you aren't willing to do something for it. Some of us, if not most of us, are hopeful people. But did you know that some of the hopeful people are the most hopeless people? We have a role to play in this team, on this team called life. So if we want a peace of mind, if we want peace in any area of our life, we are the ones to begin that journey. So don't expect anything without playing a role. It doesn't matter if it's a small role or a big role. You have a role on the team. Again, it's called preparation. God is preparing you for the next big thing. It's simple. If you want fulfillment that God wants you to have, He will fulfill you. I'm sorry. If he will fulfill what he wants you to have. God just wants you to fulfill the plan that he has for you. All of this encouragement is the work of God in us. You see, we've all heard that faith comes by hearing and the hearing by the word of Christ. And when we believe, we hope. Christian hope, that is. The confidence, the certainty of those promised by God. It's written. Even though we do not see them, we believe. And so, as God works that faith in us through God's word, God gives us the joy and the peace in believing, all the joy and peace in our experience of hope. You see, the only source of true joy, hope, and peace is in God himself. The only way by which God can give man joy and peace is by giving himself. God will give man as much peace and joy and hope that he can handle. So if you want peace, let us learn to trust in the God of hope. As I close, I say to you, hope and peace are important words in the Christian faith. At least they're words that should be. These are words that are often used to describe the content of the Christian faith. We possess the things in which we hope for, but we do not experience the fullness of them until we enter eternity and leave the old behind. You see, our hope is not in what we hope God will do or the peace that will come. Our hope and peace should not be on one specific outcome. Our hope and our peace should be on God and God alone. You see, hope never abandons you. You abandon it. But what I can guarantee is that God will prove himself faithful to you, and that he will never disappoint you. You won't regret putting your trust and your hope in God. You see, once you do that, peace will surely come. And because I feel that I'm a little bit more at peace than I was yesterday. I'm more at peace than I was last year. You know, I just thank God for being God. You see, I thank God for another day of life. It's a blessing just to be here. You know, do you know why it's a blessing to be here? Because God is here. When I come in here, this is a peaceful place for me. You see, where God is, that lets me know that the Spirit of the Lord is here. That equals liberty. You see, liberty equals freedom. Freedom, which equals peace. Again, it's liberty. So that lets me know that I'm free. That's why I have my peace of mind. You see, because of that peace of mind, I'm free to worship. I'm free to praise. I'm free to sing, and I'm free to dance. But most of all, I'm free to be me. That gives me peace. So I invite each and every one of you to shake off whatever it has and to become free as well. Free will equal peace. Amen.